Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. I'm Safiya, your host. We're excited to speak with Rabia Khidr today. She's the Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities. CAMD is an organization that works to create spaces where people with disabilities feel a sense of belonging. Rabia has a disability herself. She's blind. So she speaks to us from personal experience about the societal barriers she's had to overcome. How can faith inspire an individual living with disability? And what can faith communities do to become more inclusive and accessible? Rabia, it's such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you are someone who has lived with disability yourself. You're blind. And I thought maybe you could speak about those personal experiences, early personal experiences that you had being blind, and how that might have motivated you to seek change, to advocate on behalf of people with disabilities.
Well, first and foremost, what I always acknowledge is the fact that I'm really, really grateful that I had the opportunity to grow up here within a Canadian context, because this is where I had opportunity. Opportunity didn't come without barriers, but I certainly had opportunity to education and hence employment, family, community. And as a person with a disability, yes, I was, as a child, I was picked on. I was racialized as well, because not only did I have a disability, but, you know, skin color
Your
was an issue.
Color, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, being Muslim, it was a package deal, so to speak. But I certainly was always an optimist. I'm a realist, but I'm an optimist. And I think a big part of that optimism comes from faith and hope and the belief that somebody out there is watching out for me. So every step that I take is a risk, because I don't see that step, but I'm confident that I can take that step.
You speak a lot about the intersectionality of, you know, disability, but also being a woman of color, being someone who immigrated here, all those sorts of things. Can you speak about how it might be, there might be additional barriers for an individual like yourself, or others maybe in the same situation, of course?
Well, it's on two fronts. One, you know, as a woman, and as a Muslim woman, as a South Asian woman, I'm again viewed as the disabled woman within my spiritual or cultural communities. So, you know, there's that kind of discrimination or exclusion playing out at that front, and then there's exclusion from within the mainstream society in terms of dominant culture. My disability takes power away from me, my race takes power away from me, my gender takes power away from me, my visible expression of faith takes power away from me.
Now, you mentioned that within your own community that people might see your disability first over your abilities. Can you speak about that a little bit more?
Well, yes, and when I just step into a room and I'm stepping in as anybody else, the disability is what people make assumptions on. But when I step into a room from a position of power as the facilitator, as the presenter, as the event organizer, the dynamic completely changes. The conversation changes with people, and you know, just by being there and doing that role, it certainly shifts people's attitudes.
How does your faith inspire you as a person with disability? You talked a little bit about that before, but perhaps you can tell us some more.
Well, I mean, faith is a journey, right? I was born in a Muslim household. A traditional Pakistani family. I got to explore my faith simply through limited opportunities in the community, through some lectures and Sunday school programs and things like that. They weren't all accessible to me, but something drew me to this, to want to learn. And as time went by, I also got very actively engaged in socio-political issues, global issues impacting Muslims, and I became very aware of who I was and wanted to really identify myself as a Muslim along with all the other identity markers that I carry. And my faith became very important in the sense that it became the sort of, like I said, hope and inspiration for me The belief in that, you know, what's meant to be is meant to be. I certainly.
In that sense, do you think people of faith, you know, understand or accept their disabilities better than
it really
people
can?
Who don't
it can.
Faith?
Everybody's different. Mm-hmm. People with and without faith. It really depends on what drives them and what motivates them and you know what values they hold dear. Whether they are practicing or not practicing a particular faith, they still have certain values mm-hmm. that they live by of justice, of inclusion, of things like that. So it's really, really important to know your fundamental values. Mm-hmm. And faith certainly helps us draw out those values and certainly helps empower and support individuals through a life that may have a lot of barriers as a result of a disability.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the Islamic tradition. Do you think that Islam respects and honors people who are disabled? What sort of attitude does it have towards those who are disabled?
Well, people with disabilities are not explicitly even named as quote-unquote disabled people in any scripture. Other than the reference in the one verse when a blind man approached the prophet asking some questions and the prophet turned away from him because he was engaging the wealthy, noble tribesmen of the time in Mecca. God revealed a particular verse to say, hey, how do you know who's more pious? This blind man is more worthy of your time than the others. Mm-hmm. And so other than that, there's no direct reference to disability. Disability is metaphorically mentioned, but it's not physiologically mentioned. And when I say metaphorically, it's like, you know, the heart being blind and the heart being deaf.
So how do you feel about references like that?
Those are metaphoric references. It says nothing to somebody with a physical disability who cannot hear or who cannot see or who cannot walk. It certainly, in fact, suggests that people who physically cannot see, cannot hear, cannot walk, or have some limitation in that way, certainly see through their hearts, hear through their hearts, act based on their hearts. Mm-hmm. So there's a much deeper meaning or understanding. But disability was just a natural part of the Muslim world at the time of the Prophet. It was people with disabilities were not excluded. They were, in fact, included. And there was a recognition that there was a social responsibility or obligation on society to ensure that conditions were created that supported people with disabilities.
That's very interesting. Can you talk mention some individuals who are perhaps well known to us who might have had a disability that we might not be aware of even?
Well, Abdullah ibn Maktoum was the blind man referenced in that verse mm-hmm. That the Prophet turned away from, and hence later on went to appoint him as in charge of Medina in the absence of Prophet Muhammad. Other historical figures would be Prophet Moses, he had a speech impairment, would be Prophet Ayub, who had all kinds of physical conditions that, limited his abilities. Mm-hmm. And there were other scholars throughout history that were either deaf or blind and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. We know Imam at-Tirmidhi was also, I believe he was blind as well.
And Imam Shafi had some vision loss. And I believe Imam Shatibi maybe had some hearing loss.
Mm-hmm. And yet they were great scholars. Nobody really talks about the fact that, you know, they had any sort of disability.
Absolutely. The disability was a part of them, but wasn't necessarily the only label they carried because they had done some such great work.
If the Islamic tradition is so rich in the way it treats people with disabilities, why is it that the Muslim community doesn't seem as inclusive and accommodating by comparison? What's going on there?
Well, the Muslim community is, you know, as diverse as the world is. So we come from different lands and cultures and traditions, and we have a variety of lived experiences and traditional values and expectations. And in many of those lived experiences in other societies, People with disabilities are not visible to us. We don't see them, or we see them as, beggars you know, people who are abandoned on the street, and that's what we witness. So we carry those attitudes with us. We don't contextualize those experiences from a faith-based perspective. We don't think about how does our religion inform our attitudes toward people with disabilities. So we tend to carry those attitudes with us within a Canadian context, unless we have a family member with a disability, a friend with a disability. We really don't know very much, and many of our spaces and places that we've constructed where we gather historically have not been accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, a social norm more broadly, that generally society was not accessible to people with disabilities. It's just in the 2000s that more and more focus has been given to disability through legislative changes, through the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, and through the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started CAMD. Can you tell us a little bit about what that organization is about?
Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities was founded essentially to enhance access within our spaces and places of worship, and to allow people with disabilities the opportunity to learn and experience faith. That's what we were learning from Muslims with Disabilities when we held focus groups, and we had a vision of an inclusive society within the Muslim community and beyond, and we work on, you know, both fronts to advance the rights of people with disabilities.
Tell me about your new initiative.
Dean Support Services is a charity that CAMD initiated to provide life skills, day programming, respite, and eventually residential services. And we introduced our new center in Mississauga for life skills called the Muniba Center. That's our big initiative right now.
Rabia, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We know that you're also running for Mississauga City Council. Which ward is that? Can you remind
That's
us?
Ward 6.
All right. We wish you the best of luck with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. When we return, we will look at sainthood in Islam.